and welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa and Windsor, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, in honor of Mother's Day, we have two moms in studio with their children and one mom on the phone. We have what you call a full house. No empty chairs in here. We have Linda Welch and Sarah. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy about being here.
Thank you. And we have Janet Levy and Alec. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us here. I'm really looking forward to this.
Thanks. I really appreciate being here.
And we have Scout Wilkins on the phone.
Are you there, Scout?
I'm right here. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, too.
And we're excited to have you. Technology is great when it works, you know?
It's amazing.
All right. Welcome. So anyway, we're going to get to talk to our guests about being lesbians and how it was to raise their kids. And we're also going to get to talk to their kids. As you heard, we have Alec and Sarah. They're both eloquent and articulate in our studio tonight. And what was it like being raised by gay moms? Or what is it like being raised by gay moms, right? And as we got to know these women, all three of them, common themes started to emerge that we invite listeners to listen to and to discover. This is going to be a great show, but first, here's news and events with Outbeat member Greg Maralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, May 5th, 2013. Washington Wizards basketball player Jason Collins dominated LGBT headlines this week when he became the first male to come out while still playing on a professional sports team. But his coming out started way before this week when he chose number 98 to wear on his jersey. Here's more from CNBC.
All right, so first there was the number 42, now there is the number 98. Two historic numbers from the world of professional sports that were forever united now on the civil rights front. The first is worn by the Brooklyn Dodger Jackie Robinson. We all know him. He shattered baseball's color barrier in 1942. And the second worn by Jason Collins of the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics, who this week made history as the first active male NBA athlete to come out as gay in this country's 142 years of pro sports. Now, since then, sales of jerseys bearing Collins' name and number are up 100% on the team's online store. Collins says the number 98 is a tribute to Matthew Shepard, the gay college student who was murdered in an infamous hate crime in 1998. Joining me now are Matthew's parents, Judy and Dennis, co-founders of the Matthew Shepard Foundation, to replace hate with understanding, compassion, and acceptance. One thing we recognized this week, the president had called Jason Collins to commend him for coming out, also brought him up in his press conference saying that he's proud of him. But Judy, the president also made a comment about your son Matthew back in 2009. I just want to remind everybody. Moving closer to that day when no one has to be afraid to be gay in America. I know, Judy, that you've described and immensely how moved you were by this gesture from Jason Collins. But now that you've had time to process some of the emotions, how do you feel about the overwhelming support that Jason has received? And does it validate the work that you all have done since Matthew's death?
Well, I think it's a great validation of the work that so many people have done. We just try to keep Matt's story relevant and in the news so people understand that this hate is still out there. We may feel very comfortable in our own little bubble, but unfortunately there are areas where that hate still exists. And having Jason come out and the bravery and the courage and the grace with which he has done it is, it's really quite incredible. We're very honored.
And Dennis, as Judy points out, there is still a sad side of this story. You know, Collins's decision, while widely received receptively and with positive attention, there's still been some intolerance that's been pushed at him through social media and some pretty nasty stuff, too. We know that Spike Lee has taken to his Twitter feed to combat some of it. As someone who's suffered the loss of their own child through such hatred. Where do we go now? Where do we build on this momentum to help shatter and break down these barriers?
Well, you just keep encouraging other athletes to come out, as well as other gay Americans throughout the country. The more that people talk about it, the more normal that it becomes. And pretty soon you're not considering this to be a first, it's just who you are. And you can focus on what you really need to focus on, which is your family and your career and your personal life.
Judy, it's been 15 years since Matthew died. What do you think that he would make of all of this? How do you think he would react to this?
You know, we had allowed.
TQ Support Group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And on Tuesday, May 7th, from 10 a.m. to noon, the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And on Thursday, May 9th at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG will meet at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 240 Tiburon Boulevard in Mill Valley. And on Saturday, May 11th, from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m., Wanda Sykes will perform at the Marin Center, 10 Avenue of the Flags in San Rafael. Tickets are available at marincenter.org. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatnews.com. And be sure to check out our special report with details about this year's Pride celebrations going on in Sonoma, Napa, and San Francisco this coming June. For Gary Carnevelli, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And hello, welcome back. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof, just like Greg said. And we are in studio with two moms having a Mother's Day celebration a little bit early. The two moms are Janet and Linda, and they have their kids in studio with them. We have Alec and Sarah as our guests. So we also have Scout online, and we'll be talking to her a little bit later.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate and say again to you, four, five, we're really excited and happy to have you here, and we're really enthusiastic to have two younger people here. Usually we have the mothers with older kids, but I'm just curious about your enthusiasm, Alec and Sarah. Who wants to share first about being here on the radio and talking? Okay, Sarah.
Be a pioneer, Sarah.
Yeah, Alex is pointing to you, so you're it.
So why'd you want to be on the radio, Sarah?
I thought it'd be a really interesting experience. That was really the big thing, and I don't know, just new experiences are something I love to create, so that's why.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Alex, what would you want to add?
Well, I just thought it would be a great experience to be on the radio. I mean, I've never been on the radio or news or anything, so it's kind of new. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it takes a lot of courage, as you know, to be here and to talk about the issues that we're going to be talking about around, you know, gay issues, around, you know, lesbian motherhood, whatever, you know. So this is, says a lot about you two. So thank you. Really thank you for that. And so what about your enthusiasm, Janet, about being here today, this evening, whatever?
Also, you know, this is a new experience for me, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to share with the listeners what it's like to be a lesbian mom.
Thank you, yes. And Linda, what about you?
Well, I started my coming out process 40 years ago when I was my daughter's age. So to get to come and talk about what it's like to be a lesbian mom, because I've never been anything but a lesbian mom. It wasn't like I was married first, but the only momhood I've known has been since I've been a lesbian. I've been out all my life, and to be able to get to talk about it with my daughter and share the all the history that we've gone through in the last 40 years is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just want to add that when Diana and I asked for guests, we talk to people when we meet them personally or we put it online. And, you know, there are a lot of shy people out there. And I've had more than one discussion with moms who say, no, I don't think so. So to have you and Scout here in studio with us tonight, willing to share your lives, means a lot to us. So thank you.
Thank you.
So Janet, why don't we start with you? And can you just tell us about your story, about how you came to be a mother and how Alec came to be in the world?
It's a pretty special story, actually. I came out late in life, and I always wanted to have children, but it never happened. And I met someone several years ago, my ex-partner, who wanted to have a family, and we decided that maybe we would do that. We felt that that was really important to both of us. And so we talked about, do we want to have, a father that we know, or do we want to not know the person? And we went to a couple of workshops at the Lion Clinic in San Francisco, and we decided that we wanted to have a known donor. And so we asked around friends, and our male friends were, no, not really, so it wasn't that easy. And finally, there was a friend of a friend who was wanting to be a part of this, and that's how Alec came to be. And he wanted progeny. He did not want to have fatherhood, which made it really nice for us because we didn't really want to have, a whole bunch of parents. And so, anyhow, Alec was conceived, and I adopted Alec right away. My partner had him, and I adopted him, and I actually raised him because my partner preferred to be the working person. And I was at, later age when I was able to actually retire. And not really retire, but I did. Took care of Alec until he was five, and I went back to work part-time so that I could be, working around the hours that he would be in school or preschool or whatever. And so it's been the most wonderful 14 years of my life.
Aww.
We are, they say, blood is thicker than
water.
But no, I don't think so. A lot of people actually think that we are related more than being adopted then.
Mm-hmm.
And my family has adopted him just as one of the family.
Mm.
So it's really wonderful. And I love seeing him grow. I keep thinking he's graduating from eighth grade this year. And I keep thinking, my God, he was just a baby not long ago. And it's really hard for me to see that he's now moving into, should I share the word that you use? this is sort of funny. But when he was the rite of passage, and I said, do you know what the rite of passage is? And he says, well, I'm not sure, And I said, why don't you find out? So he came back and he says, I've found out what it is, and it's adultery. And I said, I don't think so. I believe it's called adulthood. And so anyhow, that's been one of our jokes. But
Oh. But
he said it very innocently, not knowing, so I had to explain what that meant.
Oh, so beautiful.
That's part of my story. Uh-huh. And I am going to look forward to the rest of his growing up, and I wish I was younger so I could enjoy more, but I'm not. I'm an old mom.
Well, how old are you?
I am actually 69.
Hmm.
So.
Never know.
Never would have guessed that at all. Young spirit. Oh, wow.
He's kept me young.
Oh, beautiful.
So, Alex, I'm curious to how you feel listening to your mom. How many times have you heard this story?
I've heard it quite a few times, but different versions, you could say, but they're all relatively the same. So, yeah.
Okay. I just watching you two, the audience out there can't see the two of you, but I see the special bond. And so I just wanted to point that out. Okay. So, Linda, what about your coming out, your story?
My coming out being a mother.
Yeah, being a mom. You're coming out being a mom. Yeah.
Yeah. I got together with Sarah's other mom when her sons were 5, 8, and 11. And so we raised those boys for a number of years. And we decided we wanted to have one of our own. And so we did try to go the artificial insemination route, and we weren't successful. And we looked at other kinds of adoption and other possibilities. And then I worked in a real estate office at the time in Oregon. And one of my coworkers came in and said her daughter was pregnant and was going to be giving the baby up for adoption. And I called home and I said, so are we interested? And my partner yelled, yes. And so she was in a special program and came to live in Oregon for the last few months of her pregnancy. So we actually got to go to all of the doctor's appointments. I was the labor coach for Sarah's biological mom and cut the cord. Was the first to hold her and feed her, and so a really special bond. And the boys were all there the day she was born, and you know, it was a really great experience. And you know, she looks just like her brothers, so she looks like she's part of the family. Like, we couldn't have planned it better. So it's been a pretty incredible experience.
So Sarah, what's that big grin about? Let's hear your experience of your mom telling this story again.
Well, I've heard it many, many times, and I don't know, I just always feel like I was meant to be part of this family, so I'm always just, like, it's happy whenever I hear this, because I'm like, I'm just where I'm supposed to be. So that's why the grin was there.
Okay. So, Linda, I'm curious about the adoption piece. How long did it take for you to tell Sarah that she was adopted? I'm just always curious about that story.
Oh, Sarah knew from day one. We had pictures of the birth. My partner at the time is really notorious for pictures. I mean, so there were pictures you don't even want to look at. But there was the most beautiful picture of the doctor's hands as Sarah's coming out. I mean, so that was always part of her story. Mm-hmm. She always knew. And for the first couple of years, her biological mom would come see her. And then it just got too hard for her. You know, she said, you know, she looks just like me. Mm-hmm. And she said, so it's really hard. So, you know, if she wants to see me later, we'll do that. But, you know, it's hard for me to do now.
Mm-hmm. And what is later? What is that?
Whenever Sarah's ready. If she decides at some point she's interested. And so I've always said to Sarah, you know, that's your choice. But we're the kind of family where we feel like Sarah was born into our family for a reason. Mm-hmm. And even though my partner, her other mother, and I aren't together anymore, we know still that there's a reason she's part of this family. And that our journeys were supposed to intertwine.
Mm. Lovely. So let's talk a little bit about being a lesbian and being a mother and how you negotiate the world. Let's say school, for example. School is, you know, historically not a kind place to gay kids or to gay parents. And just curious about in your travels, in your lives, how that's been for you. And then we would like to ask Sarah and Alec how that's been as far as school goes, having a gay mom or two gay moms, actually. So can we start with you, Linda, and can you tell us how that was? How did you negotiate the school system being a lesbian?
Actually, the schools were tougher for the boys. Imagine the early 1990s in Portland, Oregon. I did gay and lesbian political work. I was the fundraiser for the No on Nine campaign, the executive director of the Right to Privacy Political Action Committee. So we got death threats. Our boys slept with tire irons under their beds. I mean, that was the time that our boys were with us when we were first together. So it was a very different climate. And so in the beginning, we kind of felt like the lesbian poster children. You'd walk in, and the schools were trying to make an extra effort to be nice to us. But we were the only lesbians they knew in the schools at the time. And our older boys had a really difficult time. And back then, everything was very oriented to mom and dad and those kinds of the paperwork. And then over time, her other mom was a therapist in the gay and lesbian community, so the school district would actually start having us come speak on panels. And so they actually are a little further ahead than our school district here in California. They changed the paperwork. It doesn't say mom and dad anymore. It'll say, you know, parent one or guardian one or whatever, and so it's not differentiated that way. So, you know, in the beginning it was tough because my ex-partner's ex-husband is also gay now. And so the boys not only had two moms, they had two dads too. And so the school had a lot to deal with and to kind of see who, you know, what that was all about. And so in the beginning, you know, it was the Mother's Day things and the Father's Day things and all of that. But as Sarah's gotten older, times have been really different. And so it has not been so much the issue, I don't think. You know, and going into back to school nights, that kind of thing, we've just been open about who we were. When we decided to move to California, we would walk around to strangers and say, so we're thinking about moving to Novato. It's going to be okay to be a lesbian couple here. And people would look at us and say, you know, this is Marin, right? And it's like, you know, so we laughed, but we also knew Novato was known as the most conservative part of the county. So we wanted to be sure it was going to be a safe place for her. So overall, I think pretty good from my perspective now. Not so good in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Marin County, they say it. They said those words. You know it's Marin, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Wow.
So, Sarah, you go to Novato High School.
Yes.
So what is your experience there? I mean, is there something you can add or, you know, take away or whatever as far as what your mom has said about your school experience?
Not really. I mean, most of the time I don't even come out and tell people that I have two moms. It's more like something I mentioned in passing. Then people stare at me like, oh, wait, you have two moms? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, dude, that's so awesome. So it's just like everybody thinks it's cool. So there's not really an issue at all.
Mm-hmm. And you feel fine bringing friends home and introducing them to your mother?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All my friends love my moms. Aww. Every single one of them. One of my best friends up in Portland, she actually started calling my mom's mom, actually, just because she was over there and we had a strong bond, but, like, nobody really cared. They all just love my parents, so that was really awesome.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. What about Novato High's GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance? Is that something that you feel pulled toward, or are you part of that?
No, I'm not. I'm not really interested in any school activities relating, just because I'm just not interested. But a couple of my friends are. So they talk about it a little. I think it's pretty cool because a lot of my friends actually some of them are, you know, bisexual or pansexual or gay for that matter. And it seems that it's cool. They like it, so
you don't feel the need to go get support there?
No, I don't need support.
Uh-huh.
I'm perfectly happy with my family. I know who I am. I know who they are. There's not an issue.
You mentioned a term. I was curious if you could define it. You said some of your friends are pansexual.
There's actually a really funny story that goes along with that. my friend actually has a perfect definition for that. So they were saying, like, their definition was, like, asking if you were to stick your hand on somebody's pants, and no matter what you found on there, you would be okay with it. And they're like, yeah, that's pansexual. So that's my definition of how I describe pansexual.
Well, how's that different than bisexual, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think bisexual specifically means you're either male or female, so you have the anatomy of a male or a female. However, if you're pansexual, it doesn't really matter, so you can be dating a transgender, so they can have the female anatomy but act like a male, and you'll be okay with that.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, thank you for clearing that up. I'm sure a lot of people out there were wondering. Your mom is cracking up. I'm just curious, Linda, what your chuckles are all about before we move on.
I just knew she was going to tell that story. And I actually think it's this great, great story. I mean, it's so different than, you know, if you've been together 35 years, you know, it's so different than we were young like this. You know, when I was coming out at this age, we had code. We had to talk about, like, Rita Mae Brown books and code, like boxes of raisins that were really rabbit turds to, you know, to have people really understand who we were. And so for them to be able to have these kinds of conversations and to just, like, be open with each other, I think it's so great.
It's so wonderful that, I mean, that could be one of the differences between a gay mom and a straight mom, is embracing the kids these days with how open they are. Maybe a straight mother, maybe they would be open and maybe they wouldn't be. I don't know. Maybe a gay mother would be closed too. I don't know. But it just, I mean, you just seem to be like a phenomenal mom to me. Linda.
Oh, well, thank you. I, I've been working at it for a long time, and it means a lot to me to have been a step parent to the boys who are now grown, and I have my first grandchild, and to be a mom to her. It's like I feel like it's the biggest job I could have. So even though I work and support the family and all of that, there's nothing more important to me than helping launch another human being into the world and have them be, you know, great contributors.
Mm. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. Well, let's move on to Janet and Alec before we take our music break, and then we'll be talking to Scout after that. So, Janet, I had just asked Linda about being a lesbian mother and negotiating the school system and how was that for you?
Well, for me, it was a little bit different. The school that Alec went to was in a small area, which is San Geronimo Valley. There are a lot of lesbian couples there, and I think a lot of gay, you know, couples, but they're not very out. Mm. And so when Alec started school, I got hired by the, you know, to assist the principal. And one of the things that I said to the principal, you know, filling out these forms is really a pain in the butt because, you know, it's mother and father. I know that in the birth certificate, I'm his father, you know. And
really?
So I think we need to change this. And she says, go ahead. So I was able to change all the forms to where it was parent one, parent two. And but I've noticed that they reversed it since I left school, where it's now father and mother and mother and father. And so not sure what it takes, you know. To the principal that I worked under was wonderful and very open, and because my ex-partner and I have always been very open, it's been a lot easier to sail through some of these issues that some parents have. And I think that was one of my main goals, was to be able to make life easier for other parents coming into the district later, you know, as gay parents. And there have been a few after, and I think it's easier for them now, but it was not. Definitely that's one of the differences between being a lesbian mom and a straight mom. They don't have to worry about it. They go in, they fill the forms, and it's normal. But now, when you have to do, you know, who decides who's the mother, who's the father, you know, when you're two women or two men. And so that was one of the biggest issues, I think. And I'm glad that's over with. And in the high school, I'm not sure how that went, because I didn't do a lot of the paperwork, because I live in Petaluma and he's going to go to Drake. My ex had to do that, so I'm not sure if I'm the father or the mother. So.
When Diana and I, when we were foster parents and we got those forms, we would always cross out the word father and just put mother in.
I do
we
that.
We would write mother, and it was always just kind of weird. It just felt, oh, here we go again.
Especially when they looked at the form after we had completed filling them out, you know, it's like, oh, okay. Remember?
Yeah.
I do that. I do that now.
Yeah.
You know, where this is father, I always write mother, I scratch a father out. And it's too bad, because I really think that it should be guardian one or parent one. It shouldn't be any other.
Yeah, it has a way of making kids feel less than, I think, when they see those forms and they don't have something to put in that blank.
Right.
You know, even foster kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, or definitely. Kids being raised by their grandparents or something. You know?
So I hope that, you know, between moms like us, we've been able to pave the road for moms that are coming after us.
Sure.
Who will be able to not have to deal with those issues, because those are, you know, issues regardless of how small or how big. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time to get with the times here.
Yeah, yes.
And for me, it was even more difficult because, you know, I'm Latin descent, and so they used to kind of, you know, there was another step that I had to take beyond that. So,
Wow.
But I'm glad to have done what I have done thus far, so that in the future somebody else won't have to go through that.
Okay, Alex. We would like to hear about you and your relationship as far as having a lesbian mom or moms and your experience at school with your peers.
Well, all of my friends are they don't really care if I have two moms because it's very common where we live in the valley, the San Geronimo Valley. There are quite a few, some of my friends are have lesbian parents, and all of my friends are accepting. They don't really care at all. I mean, I have friends come over all the time, and they love my parents. They don't really bother. So, I mean, my teachers, they're not, like, they're fine with it. They don't really care that much, actually. So it's good, though.
You know how some teachers will say, make sure you check with your mom and dad. Like, if there's a you know, a trip or something, they'll always say mom and dad, or did you ask your mom and dad this? And so, Alec, are they sensitive to you? Do they say make sure you ask your moms?
They just say ask your parents.
Okay.
And on all the field trip permission slips and all that, it just says parent / guardian signature. So.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. And so is there a GSA at your school now? Do you
Not
know what one
really.
Is?
I know there is one at the high school that I'm going to go to, but there's not one at my school because it's a small school. Only have about 300 kids there.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, yeah, there's, I mean, I'm not sure if anyone has come out yet at my school, but if they have, I mean, I know some people who go to other schools who have come out, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
They would probably think you were a safe person to come out to, I bet.
Yeah.
Both you and Sarah, if you had gay friends, because why do you think that they would think you were safe? Why do you think that?
I mean, because our parents are gay, and so, I mean, we're used to it. We've lived with them all our lives, so.
Yeah.
Huh. Anything you want to add to that, Sarah?
I think they feel more comfortable coming out to us because of the fact that we would understand them and what they're going through and be much more supportive than, let's say, another kid that has straight parents or is just totally straight, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you all. Yeah. Thank you, the four of you, very, very much. We're going to have a music break right now. Cyndi Lauper's True Colors, because, you know, you're here showing us your true colors, and we really, really appreciate that, being authentic in yourselves, and so we chose this song in honor of you. After our music break, we will be on the phone with Scout, so we'll be back.
world makes you crazy. You take in all you can bear. You call me up because you know I'll be there. And I'll see your true colors shining through. I'll see your true colors. And that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let it show.
That's a timeless song. It's such a beautiful song, and it always can make us feel so proud of what we are and who we are. I want to thank again our guests, Alec and his mom, Janet, and Sarah and her mom, Linda. And we are on the phone right now with Scout. Scout, are you there?
Excuse me, I am.
Well,
Sharon, how are you?
We're good. Thank you so much. Thanks for being patient. And
I've been delighted to hear, and I just want to really thank it's been just great to hear these stories, and especially to thank Sarah and Alec for coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it wonderful?
And especially because I haven't said this, but I just figured out when we were on the phone before we got on the phone, that Linda and I are actually friends. We know each other through work, and I've heard all kinds of things about Sarah, all good things, and so I'm excited to meet her.
Wow, that's a trip, you know, that's a trip.
Isn't that a trip?
It is.
Small world.
Small world.
But let's get to you, my dear. So, can you just take us through your journey regarding being a mom, a lesbian mother, and kind of how you came to be and how your kids came to be in the world?
Well, yeah, and I love that all these stories are so different. We've got every bit of the spectrum covered here, I think. I, like Janet, came out very late in life. What happened for me, I grew up in a really pretty unique way. I started working at a natural history museum when I was about 11, just running around the woods of California, the woods and deserts, and backpacking all the time, and just part of a tribe of kids for a lot of years. And the cool thing about it was there was no pairing off. There was no gender identification. It just wasn't an issue. We were just a tribe. And I was just fine being exactly who I was. And I'm just going to keep this story really short. So I don't want to say I'm not telling the whole story because I'm not trying to be coy I'm not willing to tell it, but it's just, I don't want to take up a lot of time on this piece. So just to say that when I was about 15, there was an incident in my family that left me completely decided that I was not okay. I had been cutting my own hair, and I look back at the pictures, it's clear I was a baby dyke. I had no idea. I slammed myself into the closet in a way so thoroughly that I had no access to that information. It was just not okay at such a deep level. So I buried that part of myself from my own view.
Scout, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Could you go into what happened? I think it's really, really important, what you shared with me on the phone.
Okay. What happened, and okay, if I say this, I just want to preface it by saying there's no blame here. There's no finger pointing at all. This is just what happened. So, and this is actually, I'll say this is my story of what happened, because I have talked with my mother about it, and she has no recollection. And there's a very good reason she thinks, you know, it couldn't have happened because of what she believes. So anyhow, stories and memories, you know, they're to take them for what they're worth. I was 15, I think, and very much looked like a boy, obviously, because I went into the bank to cash a check, and the teller stalled me and called my mom and said, there's a boy down here trying to cash your daughter's check. And my mom, my next sort of recollection was of getting taken to the beauty parlor to be made into a girl, and we never discussed it. We never discussed it. It was so sort of one of those beyond the pale things. It was so unacceptable. And it was like I went underground and I just welded the manhole cover shut after me. It's just pretty amazing how they talk about denial. And I used to think that denial was something a person was aware of on some level. And I can say now, categorically, it's not true. So many of my friends were lesbians, and I just didn't know that I was.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I finally met my husband and we were hanging out, we were working together in the backcountry, and we were talking about getting married, and he asked me at one point if I thought I might be a lesbian, and I said, oh, no. He reminded me of that, I might add, on the day that I came out to him. So anyhow, I married Will, who remains one of my best friends. I mean, we really had a good marriage in so many ways, good partnership, good co-parenting. We ran businesses together. It was good in most ways. But at the same time, I was angry. I was depressed. I had all this other stuff going on, and I had no idea why. No idea why. It was the most crazy thing. And so finally, when I was about, and I had two boys, and when they were 13 and 15, I had a little coming out moment. I had had a few different infatuations with women over the years and just sort of slammed that door shut and never asked what it meant about me until I really think sort of there was a part of me that was, once I had kids, it said, hey, you're not going there until kids are of a certain age.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was going on inside. So anyhow, when they were 13 and 15, the door flew wide open again. And it was incredible. It was such a relief. Will and I had been in counseling. We'd had our kids in counseling. The family had been a mess. And I think a lot of it was just because I was such a mess. I just didn't know myself. I was unconscious and really, truly was not being a good parent because I didn't know who I was. And so when I figured it out, it was like, I mean, like I said, the doors flew open. And here's the thing that I will say is, I mean, our kids come in, I think, in a large part who they are. I think that we have less to do than we think of who our kids are going to be. I mean, we have a lot to do with it, but they definitely come in themselves. And I have two very different sons. My older son was very angry from a very young age. And he and I had a lot of issues because I just couldn't, I really had to distance myself from it. I look back on it. I think that a lot of what he was angry about was there was a part of him that just knew I wasn't being myself.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I think that's one piece.
Uh-huh.
So by the time I came out, he and I were at such odds that there really was no question of him coming to live with me. He went to live with his dad. His younger brother, Matt, came to live with me. And that was a really good thing because of that anger. There was a lot of stuff going on between the boys. And for his own reasons, Matt had been really shutting down. And that's the story that I was so excited to come on and tell, is what happened to Matt when I came out. Because it was in the middle of his eighth grade year, right around, it was just after Christmas, that we told the kids. It was in early January. And we stayed, all of this happened in a little Montana town of 5,000 souls. So that may sound like the worst possible place to come out, but actually, a small town like that can be far more accepting of individual differences than you might think. So when I came out and very openly, you know, this is what's going on, Matt and I moved to town, he was open with his friends about it. He started to blossom. He really started to blossom. Where he had been shutting down before, he just started going for it. He dyed his hair Smurf blue, the first kid in our little town to ever do that. He just dove into everything. He was a computer geek. He was the captain of the high school soccer team. He was a snowboarder and a rock climber and shot videos and just in the middle of so many different things. And even at the eighth grade graduation, he and a buddy did the little slideshow the kids do of all the, you know, baby pictures and now pictures and the whole thing they do. Matt and Cole did that, and in the credits, he, at the end of the credits, they did kind of a fun thing they were goofing with, and at the end of that, he put "Hi, Mom" in the credits, which, you know, it was incredible. And so we were there in town the whole time through high school. And the coolest thing of all, when he graduated high school, he wrote me a note that he gave me at graduation. And he said, "Mom, thank you so much for doing exactly what you did and coming out in the way you did, because you showed me in the most powerful possible way to be myself."
Mm. That's beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful.
I think sometimes as parents, we don't realize how much our actions can impact our kids. You know, and we have.
You know, it's so true. I mean, if I had to say one thing to parents, any parent, any
mm-hmm.
person,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's be yourself, because it's the single best thing you can do for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's parenting is all about modeling. They watch what we do. They don't listen to what we say.
That's right. They're
they
watching
watch what we do. So it's like, who do you want them to be? Be that yourself.
Mm. Thank
you.
And
I got to watch the cost of not being who I was, and then the reward of finally figuring myself out and being who I was.
How did your other son handle your coming out and being more authentic in your own life, like the son that lived with you? I think that his name's Matt, yes? Matt.
His name, yeah.
Yeah. So how did your other son change, or did he?
You know, it's been such an interesting piece, and I don't want to, he's a very private person, and I want to totally respect that. Mm. What I will say is that what I've watched, he's 28 now. He went through a 12-year battle with major addiction, well, 11 years, because about a year and a half ago he decided to get sober and did it and is doing it and is doing great.
Mm.
And what I've watched is, as I have healed myself and allowed myself to be myself more and more, and that's not so much around being a lesbian, coming out as a lesbian was a piece of cake. It was, once I figured it out, it was just who I am. There was nothing to it. But coming out, doing the work that I'm now doing, because I wasn't doing anything in the world close to what I wanted to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming out as a person with something of value to offer has been my big challenge, my big healing. And as I have done that, I've watched him heal himself, not through anything I've done, not through anything I've said. I've just energetically, as I have healed myself, he has healed himself.
Oh, that's quite powerful. Well, thank you so much for that beautiful story. That thank you letter is incredible.
It has been amazing. If I could share that story with more people, that just don't think just because your kids are at that age that you shouldn't change things. kids are awesome. They want us to be real.
That's right. Good. Thank you, Scout.
And thanks, because you kind of went into our segue of asking our moms for advice to other moms, you know? So do you have anything else to add before we move on to Linda and Janet? Scout?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, stay
so
on the line.
To hear all these stories.
Yeah. Stay on the line. We won't put you on hold or anything. Okay?
I'll be right here.
Okay. So, Linda, how about we start with you? Can you maybe share some words to maybe some parents who might be listening about being a mom, being yourself, being authentic?
I would agree with Scout about really being authentic and taking a stand for who you are. But I also think you have no greater responsibility than to, as I said, launch a child into the world. And I think a lot of parents, especially when their kids finish elementary school, decide that their job is done. And you have to keep showing up over and over and over again. If your kid is angry with you, you have to stay with it. You have to work through it. And I don't think there's anything more important than really taking a stand for a good relationship with your kid. And I would do whatever I needed to do to do the work I need to do on myself to be a better mom. And I have done that. And I know my kids have seen that. So I think that's the thing, is if you feel like there's a place where you're not showing up as powerfully as you could, then you need to do the work, because it's not your child's job to thank you for the work you do and for who you are, but it is your job to be the parent you can be to really show your kids the way.
Beautiful. Thank you, Linda. Janet.
I do agree with both Scout and Linda. You always have to be, you know, there for your child no matter what. I think there is no cutting age as to when you stop being a parent. You know, I do believe that, you know, there are years that are more important than others where you make a bigger difference. But I do believe that as they grow, you still are the parent. And the relationship changes over the years, where I hope one day Alec and I can be more on the friends and parent, you know, relationship. Right now, there are times when we are friends, but he also knows that I am his parent and that I'm there for him to be whatever he needs from me, not spoiling him, but just to be there when he needs to be picked up, like all of us, you know, and to be, you know, we all say we want to be strong for our child, and there are times when we can't be. So being real is definitely, you know, important. He needs to know that we are humans just as everybody else, and that we fall apart. And, you know, having gone through a divorce in the last few years, I really think that was a big thing for Alec to go through, because he went through all the everything that was going on at the time. And I think now that we've come to a sort of a peaceful situation, he's learned to appreciate that life is fragile and that you do need to, you know, to keep learning and to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it never ends.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
It's very touching. We just kind of went down into our heart chakra. You know, we went to that place. It's beautiful. So I want to move us, because time is ticking like we said it would be. I want to check in with Alec and Sarah. This is your opportunity. This is a Mother's Day show, right? We want you to be able to express live here some wonderful words. What do you want us to know? What do you want people to know about your relationship, about you and your mom? So why don't you start, Sarah, and then Alec will talk about his mom.
My mom is awesome. She and my other mom split a little over a year ago. And that was a really, really difficult time for me. And I was actually very, very upset with her. And even though I was angry with her, she just stayed with me, you know. She was there and waited for me to come back, basically, to my senses. And so we've been able to build an even better relationship than what we had before. And I totally love the fact that she just was there. And, you know, she didn't give up on me, even though stuff was going down, and she just stayed there and was always there for me, and I appreciate that, and I really like that part of her because I know that the one person I can always count on is my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you take a moment and look at your mom and say that?
I love you. I adore you. You're amazing. Thank you for being my mom.
Oh. I love it. Oh.
Linda's wiping her tears. And they're hugging. Thank you so much, you. Sarah.
Alec, you want to share?
Well, I've always had a good relationship with both of my parents. I've had a more substantial relationship after the divorce. My mother's been a little closer to me since then. So, 'cause I'm not as distracted, get more time alone with each parent. It's very good for me, I feel. A lot less stressful than before.
Yeah, that's a hard time, isn't it? So can you, not to put you on the spot or anything, but can you do what Sarah did? Can you look at your mom and give her some love?
I love you and I always will. Don't leave me.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much. You both are amazing. Scout, we're ready to leave. So is there last word? You don't have any kids with you. We wish we could have gotten your son, but he wasn't available. So we just want to say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for being on, Scout.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, this show, for the listeners out there, the show will be archived. It'll be up on our website, outbeatradio.org, in 1 week. And you can just go to the Living Proof link and then, you know, tell all your friends to come and listen to the show. It's an amazing show. And we want to thank all of our listeners out there. And we want to remind everybody that next month we will have Voices from Pride. We'll be at Guerneville. Like Linda, Scout, and Janet, you too can be living proof that you are strong, vibrant, brave, and authentic. Until next month,
good night.
Join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. on only here on KRCB Radio. A quick check of your weather tonight. You can expect a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Skies will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 49. Tomorrow, there are 30% chance of showers with a possibility of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Skies will be partly sunny with a high near 72. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Moyers & Company is next.
Still so many answers I don't know. There are so many answers. Realize that true question is how we grow. True question is to grow. So I step out.